when you all pray and pray for the pastor, for John, when you run out of someone to pray for, if you will, remember me and Bernice. Remember us in prayer. You don't know until you get to be our age the problem and the challenge it is just to get ready to be here. I was reminded of this. Everyone has their own favorite grandchild or great-grandchild or child, whatever. But I have a grandchild whose birthday was February the 1st, and we sang happy birthday to her. When she was young, because my birthday is this month also, she said, we both are Aquarius, therefore we are compatible. It didn't come out that plain, but that's what she was trying to say. And then, as a sober reminder, she said, do you realize my mother, your first child, will be 70 years old in June? If that doesn't make you feel old, I don't know what will. Yeah. Bernice and I got married. I was 18, she was 19, and we were told by her parents and by her doctor that she would never be able to have children. And we moved onto the campus of Clear Creek Springs in Pineville, Kentucky, where the only water they had to drink was that sulfur water, which you had to hold your nose and nearly to drink it. Yeah. Moved there in September, and Sandy was born in June. And we had another couple there that had been married for 8 years trying to have a child. And she got pregnant while she was there, so it must have been the water, evidently. I don't want to blame the water on for everything, but that's what it was. So you can remember us when you pray, because as I said, I never knew and never had the faintest idea that I would live to be this long. I said that when I reached 70, and when I was 70, I was just a pup. Yeah. Compared to what I am now. But anyway, remember that. Remember us in prayer. I want to talk to you this morning or this afternoon on the fall of man. I have found by experience down through the years in talking to people who are drunkards, gamblers, and people who are in the same boat but religious and lost, that they will never comprehend any way the doctrine of grace until it is revealed to them of the fall of man.
Amen.
Never will.
Amen.
Now, we use the term the fall of man. Man didn't fall in the garden. He died. To fall, you get the impression if someone falls, they can get up on themselves. But when you preach and teach that they are dead, then you're talking about resurrection power. It's going to take a resurrection to get them alive that's what the fellow came to Jesus one night and says, can a man enter his womb a second time? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, where it says in the 7th verse, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, without going into a whole lot of it, look down at verse 15. The Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Well, that's what happened. But after he had given him that, later in this same chapter, he said in verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. Took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, as the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. But then the story changes a little bit. And all this, now the serpent, chapter 3, was more subtle than the beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, I did not know how many times when I have quoted a scripture to someone in testifying and witnessing of the grace of God, that they've asked that question. God said that? Mm-hmm. God said that? Yeah. Hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Woman said to the serpent, well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it lest you die. The serpent said, why, you won't die. Yeah, God said, yeah, you're not going to die. He knows that in the day you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The woman saw that the tree was good for food. It's pleasant to the eyes. A tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Yeah. You can't hide from God. And the Lord called that, where art thou? Well, I heard thy voice in the garden, I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. Who told thee that I was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me, be with me. She gave me the tree and I did eat. Passing the buck, nothing new, folks.
Right.
Here it is. And the Lord God said, look, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, well, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. On thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between her seed and thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception, sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, thy desire shall be to thy husband, he shall rule over thee. And Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is ground for thy sake, and sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread till thou return to the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. There are two Old Testament scriptures, but in Isaiah, the 14th chapter, the cause of sin was Satan. And here in the 14th chapter of Isaiah, verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yea. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. The devil is the cause of sin, and the devil is still alive and working today.
Right.
I believe his strongest battlefields, his strongest grounds, and his greatest congregation is R-E-L-I-G-E-O-N, religion. Religion. Religion will take you to hell and make you feel good on the way. Religion and salvation are not the same.
Amen.
Salvation is deliverance from religion.
Mm-hmm.
You quit looking at yourself. The messages we have heard today, two of them, have emphasized this very fact. To Him be glory.
Amen.
He's the one who saved. He is the one who chose. And we see this over and over. And so I still believe, and it, you can't just lay it on politicians, although it's there. Let me say something aside here. I'm not a politician. But have you ever in your life heard or read as much as sexual harassment from women as you have today? You ever heard that before? A preacher whom I've never met, whose wife I've never met, but someone 2 years ago was talking to me about this particular woman and her famous thing, the thing that she was the most famous for, was her advice to women. If it's not for sale, don't advertise it. Now you think about that for a minute. Let me give you an illustration. One day, this granddaughter of mine I was talking to a while ago was fishing with her dad at a little farm pond, and I walked over to see what they were doing. And he was over on this side, and she was casting the drink. I said, she had a repaddle on. I said, now wait a minute. Well, you catch fish sometimes. Let me show you how to catch a fish that repaddle. And I flipped it over underneath the tree and let it fall on the, there. And it just sits there. And she said, well, what are you going to do? I said, I'm not going to do anything. And since it bothered her, I let it sit there a little longer than it ordinarily would. But when something falls out of a tree of basswood, he's there, he'll roll up there and he'll see it. And he'll sit there like a bird dog on prey, just pointing like that. And if it moves, shame on it. Now if it's a leaf, he'll eventually just fly away, move away. So I said, now when I move that, he's going to grab it. She looked at me like I was from outer space. I said, you don't believe me, do you? She said, no, I said, I stepped and gave her the wrist and bring it in. Keep your rod straight up in your air. Bring it in. Oh, Daddy, I got a fish. I got a fish. Now, what was that? That bait was there to entice that fish to grab it. And many women today dress to entice men. Mm-hmm. Now, in Peter said about Satan, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Mm-hmm. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. There's a lot of verbs for God's people that are spiritual exercises, and here's one, resist the devil. The devil knows more about you. The devil knows more about your particular weakness than anybody else knows. The devil will never, it never bothered for me to see a beer commercial. I never did like beer. I drank probably, I don't know, 5 or 6, maybe 7 or 8 glasses of it when I was a senior, but never did like it. But you take somebody who has drunk it all their life and trying to get away from it, and they see that commercial. They want one. They want one. Resist the devil. Because he'll put that in front of you. He will never tempt me with that, but he might tempt me with something else. And he knows your weakness. He knows my weakness. And he's got a bunch of tattletales. They come to him and tell him, hey, this is what he's doing this. She's doing that. This is what, okay, we'll get him. And the biggest way that Satan is getting people today is getting them to be religious. Be religious. So politicians are lying about it. They don't want the Ten Commandments. No, that's favoring certain people of religion. Let's take it down, put it over here somewhere. Let's remove this, remove that. Do we want to change history and all that stuff? The reason the people don't like the Ten Commandments, they don't like number one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You people are one-sided and you say there's only one God. But there is only one God. And he said here to Satan, what is this that thou hast done? So now, I'd like to talk for a little while on the curse of sin. I said to the servant, because thou hast done this, you're cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. You're the lowest of the scum, as far as God is concerned. Satan is the lowest of the scum. And I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And it there, Ruth, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It shall bruise thy head, and you're going to bruise his heel at Calvary. There it is. God does not like Satan. And Satan has, well, it's been brought out of her from this pulpit. His preachers. Yeah. They transform themselves into angels of light. But they're false. They're false. Now, let's look at the second curse. That's the first curse. Satan. Let's look at the second one. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Folks, we're talking about rank, basically. In the army, are they all sergeants? Are they all lieutenants? Are they all captains and majors and colonels? No! There are different ranks. And that's what he's saying here. And you're first. She's made out of you, she said. And because of this, where you both were naked and didn't even know it, didn't realize it because there was no sin involved. Now there's sin involved. And he shall rule over thee. I know for a fact that a lot of people love the book of Ephesians. According to verse 4, according to his chosenness in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Amen! Verse 1, chapter 2, you hath he quickened. You hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses. Amen! Verse 8 and 9, by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Amen! Alright, everybody, yeah. Okay. Let's turn to the 5th chapter of Ephesians. Same book. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Is that what it says? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, if you really want a deep subject, and we may get to it one of these days, Lord willing, that next verse, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's a different subject right now. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 13. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Now this whole chapter here, he says in verse 1, I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying with his head covered dishonors his head. That's what it says. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonors her head. For that's even all as if she were shaven. Now I'm not going to the rest of this chapter to just get bogged down here, but this passage of scripture teaches the very thing we're talking about. That God's people, God's women should have their head covered during services. Okay. While we're there, turn to the 14th chapter. Verse 34. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but their command to be under obedience. As also saith the law, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. And I guarantee you there ain't 5%, maybe, of churches today that have the name Baptist on the front of them. They even know this is in the Bible. When Paul wrote, he wrote to the brethren. He knew if the brethren got it, the sisters were going to get it. And he knew if the brethren and the sisters knew it, got it, he knew their children were going to get it. And Timothy's a prime example of that, of Bernice and Lois. His parent, his mother, and his grandmother. They taught him the scriptures from a child up. They taught him. That's where a woman should teach, is in the home. That's where she's set forth. In Colossians. Chapter 3. Verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband, as it is fit in the Lord. 1 Timothy. Chapter 2. Verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubt. Now, many times the word man is used in the Bible, and it means mankind, male and female. Sometimes it's man in the sense of a male, and that's what it is here, separate from woman. In like manner also, listen to this now, I didn't write the Bible. The women adorn themselves in modest apparel. I was in a Bible conference one time and a fellow got up, He said, that meant clean clothes. And I thought, what in the wide world? If I missed something here, if I struck out, I got to go home and study this. And I went home and I studied, and it didn't mean, and it was not supposed to be, clean clothes. It means just what it says. Modest apparel. With shamefacedness and sobriety. Not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Why? Why? Look at the next verse. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived. But his woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Nevertheless, she shall be saved into childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. Second chapter of Titus. These are letters to preachers. Verse 1 says, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I didn't write this, folks. This is God's word. Do you ever wonder what it meant when it said, man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart.
Right.
Here it is. Here it is. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. 1 Peter. Chapter 3. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wife. The word conversation there means the behavior. While they behold your chaste behavior, coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, and the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but it let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit which is in the sight of God. Of great price. Mm-hmm. And I tell you folks, God, we look on the outward. God looks on the heart. That's what he said. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trust in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you are not afraid with any amazement. That's the result of the fall in the garden. And I know we've got demonstrations, rallies, thousands of people wanting nothing else but to say, hey, we are equal with men. They're not all corporals. They're not all sergeants. We're talking about rank. And this, which I'm showing you from the scripture, causes men to love their wives. Vanessa and I, whenever there's some big discussion come up of something in our life, and of course it's past that age now almost, I guess, but as we were growing up, whenever it came to where we were a little different on something, we'd discuss it. But when it was all said and done, I would do what I thought was right and suffer the consequences. And that would give her the right, I told you so, but she never did say it that way. She never did. She recognizes this very thing we're talking about here. Now, that's the result. That is the curse of sin. And unto Adam, he said, back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Ray and I know a friend. I asked him about it every once in a while. His name is Harold in Everett. He worked on a railroad with me, and he claims he knows so much about the Bible, but he doesn't understand the church. And the church is the foundation, folks. The gospel is built on the foundation of the church. But anyway, he is what I call someone who is under petticoat government. The reason he will not join or link himself with a church through baptism is because his wife rules the roost. And he loves for it to be that way. Yeah. Because you listen to your wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I have commanded thee, I told you, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. First church I pastored was in a coal field, Southwest Virginia. And I didn't understand all that mining lingo. How they talked about working in the mines where it was just about that high. You couldn't stand up. And how they would shove cars back in there where coal had been shot down. And you would lay on your side and fill those little cars up. And then when it's time to take one out, you'd take your tag with your name, and so they'd know who it was next, because they'd pay you for that too. Well, I didn't understand it. But one day the fellow had a small mine. He said, well, preacher, go with us into mine. I said, okay. So we started, and I said, what were we wearing this hard hat? I just put it on. I went, boom! I found out he didn't have to tell me more. He didn't have to tell me why. I found out real quick why he wore that hard hat. Ten, 12 years later, I'm down there, and now they're changing things. And they said, we no longer do it that way, preacher. So we now got a machine. We shoot that coal down, we brace up, put up the braces to hold up, pop up, put a rail in there, and that machine just does this. Brings it right into a path, a roller, just takes it back, and it just does that. We got one man doing it all. Now maybe you don't have to do physical work in your job today. There are some physical work. But maybe you don't have to do physical work, but you know what? The sweat of your face can be literal, and it can also be physical, and it can also be otherwise. You can sweat and fret and worry about your job. And one other thing, I want to close with this thought. Thorns and thistles, a reminder of the curse that was put upon man, was fulfilled in Christ when he put a crown of thorns on his head. And by the way, this scripture says it's the man that's going to do the work. Different times, folks. Different times. I could not begin to tell you. I'd have to take me a couple hours to write down all of the things called work that I've done since I was 9 years old until I retired off the railroad that I did to make 2 cents. If you find a pop bottle, it's 2 cents. You take that pop bottle, it gives you 2 cents. One time in a grocery store, I found a dollar bill laying on the floor. In my pocket quick. But having some kind of a raising by my parents, I hung around, just walked around in there for a while to see if anybody would say, anybody found me? I lost a dollar. I hung around. All the people in there left, and new people came in. I thought, well, it's mine. And it was mine like a home. And it was mom's. Yeah. And maybe, if I was real good, she might give me a nickel to go to a movie sometime on the Saturday. Maybe. Work. W-O-R-K is something I have done all my life. I'll never will forget when Bernice and I got married and I went back to Hamilton to get my clothes and a few things before we started our honeymoon. I stopped at the S.A. Stove Company to get my last paycheck. And a fellow in there was in charge of all things in there, happened to be in there. I went in and got my, I was dressed up, you know, I just got married. 18 years old, I just got married. Got my last check. And it happened to be my cousin was a man was in the head of the hiring at the time. And that was one of the reasons I guess I got the job, because they needed me anyway. But his boss, his superior, said to me, Dad, if you ever come back to Hamilton and you want a job, don't call him. Call me. What does that say? You take a job, you do what you're told, and you do it faithfully. The Bethel Baptist Church has got a job. We need to pray and ask God to open doors of service.
Amen.
That we might witness of His truth for His glory. So there's the cause, and there's the curse.
Amen.
Follow me.
Thank you, brother. Amen. Brother, just a message.